June 10th, 2010.
Let's go to the book of 1 John. I'm going to be bringing what I hope is some pretty basic things that are known and I hope understood by pretty much everyone here. If not, I hope maybe you'll learn something and take it in. If so, may it simply serve to establish you. And I'm going to be giving a series on eternal life, a very, very basic foundational teaching. I'll be dealing with three different aspects, and I won't give them all away tonight. But I heard someone say years ago that they didn't really enjoy hearing so-and-so preach, didn't enjoy that sermon, because they preferred to hear bridal teaching. Now, if you don't know what that phrase means, it simply has to do with those things pertaining to God's best and the highest relationship that He offers us with and in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I've got a little secret for you if you don't know it yet. The only kind of Bible teaching there is bridal teaching. Everything in the Word of God leads you to God's best. And some people, you know, if you want to just think of that as the dessert, the sweetest part, some people want to live on dessert. Well, now that's okay, I guess, but it's not really the recommended diet. You need the foundation. And so tonight we're going to be talking about eternal life and that very simple thought of how to get it. You can't get much more foundational than that, but I'll guarantee you, if you don't get eternal life, you won't get the rest of it because it won't be available to you. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2. I'll be reading this little passage every evening. That which was from the beginning. You know what that is, don't you? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word was made flesh, dwelt among us. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the Word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Let's bow our heads for a moment and a word of prayer once more. Heavenly Father, as we begin to consider this portion of your word tonight, I ask your blessings. I ask that you would deepen our hearts, help our understanding, and Father, for each of us who already have possessed this eternal life, may we at the very least take these things and be even more ready to give answer to everyone who asks by reason of the hope that is in us. Give each of us by your Holy Spirit what we need and can most benefit from individually, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Eternal life. I guess before, you'll have to excuse me, I've got an allergy going on and I get all choked up and I'll try not to cough into the mic if I have to cough. But before we get to the issue of how to get eternal life, there is, I suppose, the issue of whether or not you want it. My mama is 96. She still lives at home. She still cooks. Badly, but she still cooks. She made me a pecan pie here a while back, but she didn't have any pecans, so she made it out of cashews. And my wife, you know, I said, I'm not going to eat that. She said, get over it, you know, just suck it up and eat some, you know. And she took a bite, and that was enough, you know. The issue was resolved. So my mom is 96. She's getting a little spacey. She begins to... They attend a denominational church down there where she lives. That's all that's available. And we were down there, and she turned to my sister. And she has hearing aids. She sometimes puts them in backwards. And anyway, she turned to my sister, and not realizing how loud she was saying it, she said, "Are you enjoying this yet?" Well, you know, sometimes we think, this can go on too long. We think that about preachers sometimes too, but we don't go there. My daddy, by the time the Lord took him home, he was in a wheelchair. He was blind. He was deaf. Some days he'd ask my brother, how's Mama and Papa doing? Sometimes we think life can go on too long. And if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. One writer years ago, he told of going to some, you know, imaginary society where people just didn't die, and they wound up sort of being these grease spots on the road that crawled around in search of food, you know. You want eternal life? A lot of stupid ideas get attached to the idea of living forever, and we won't even go there. I'm more interested in what the Bible says. The Bible says in Philippians 3, 20 and 21, the beginning of verse 21, this is from the New Revised Standard Version, but our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation. If you don't understand this body of humiliation, I guarantee you will as you get older. He will change our body of humiliation that it may be conformed to the body of His glory. When we talk about eternal life, we're not talking about a lot of stupid ideas put forward by ignorant people. And I use that word ignorant just that they don't know. Who try to say, I don't want to live forever. Well, I do, but I don't want to live forever this way. I have a better place to live. We are messing up this world, aren't we? Most of you probably heard the joke by this time that they figured out how to make a car run on water. The only thing is you have to get the water from the Gulf of Mexico. You know, I don't want to live here forever. I really don't. And I don't want to live in this body forever. And so when God begins to set before us His interest and His plan for us, He says, you're not even a citizen here. You know, if I go to visit Thailand or Paraguay or wherever, I'm not a citizen there. I'm not going to try to straighten out somebody else's country. I am not interested in trying to straighten out this world and make it a better place. That's not my job. I'm a citizen of heaven. And one of these days, I'll have a body to match my citizenship. What 2 Corinthians 5:1 calls a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now, do you want eternal life? And I've just sort of started to scratch the surface. I do. And thank God I don't have to worry about it because I have it. But the question arises, suppose we were going to earn eternal life. How good would people have to be to earn eternal life? Simple. One word. Perfect. That's it. You want to earn it? No mistakes. No mistakes. Anytime, any place, anywhere. Regrettable, but you know, I'm sorry for that. But so it's all behind me now. No. Perfect. If you want to earn eternal life, perfect. If I were going to be really thorough, I would go into a very lengthy discussion about a passage in the book of Romans. In Romans 2:7, the surrounding verses, it says, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor, immortality, and eternal life. So if you will patiently, that is, if you will stay right there, always continuing in well-doing, God will give you eternal life. I'll tell you what else. I'll make a promise. If there is anyone here who has never lost any money, whose every investment has always turned a profit, whose every financial decision was a good one, and who can guarantee to me with, you know, security, I will return to you 100% per year on every dollar that you give to me. Well, probably I'd turn and run, but if I believed it and knew it, I would beg, I would borrow. I came late to the joys of, you know, the American dream, but I have a mortgage now. I'm an American. I'd take out a second mortgage and I'd invest it with you. Is there anybody here that can make that kind of promise? Oh, you're just fixing your hair. Okay. All right, you don't get my money. If there is anybody who by patient continuance in well-doing can earn eternal life, God will give them eternal life. But instead of explaining that in a whole lot of detail, let's go on to Romans 3:12 and then the beginning of verse 23. They are all gone out of the way. Nobody continued in well-doing. Nobody. Not anybody in the human race ever except the Lord Jesus Christ. They are together, become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. Anybody here think you're good enough? There is none that doeth good, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so very simply, nobody in the human race, the Lord Jesus Christ bought eternal life for us through his blood, but none of us is qualified to receive eternal life on the condition of patient continuance and well-doing. There are going to be times when you don't continue, and you can be sorry about those times. But the marks of guilt, the marks of sin and its result remain in the life. You know, I spent a number of years in rebellion, and it leaves scars. And some of those scars stay with you the rest of your life. And you can be sorry, and you can repent, but some of those issues are there. I have a car out there somewhere, and I said one time, to my wife, I said I'd like to grow old together. She said, honey, you is old. But, you know, my idea of an, is there, nobody here is old, so I can say this. My idea of an old people's car is one that feels like you're riding down the road in your sofa, you know, right? Okay. And I said, you know, I'd like to have an old people's car. And she said, you've got an old people's car. Ford Taurus. Anyway, I had a wreck in that thing in 2004. And you know, to me, a car gets you there, you know, and I don't care. And I never had the dents fixed. I don't care. It still goes. It's fine. No problem. I'm sorry I had the wreck. The insurance paid the other guy, and I didn't make a claim myself. And it's all past. It's all forgotten. Nobody can blame me for that anymore. Well, my wife can, but nobody can blame me for that anymore. But the dents are still there. So how good do you have to be? You have to be perfect, and you have to be perfect always, because if you're not perfect always, the mark of sin remains in a life unless the Lord Jesus Christ does something about it. Romans 2:7 does not promise that anyone will obtain eternal life by that means. It simply tells us what the standards are if you want to earn eternal life. On at least two occasions, people ask the Lord Jesus Christ, how do I earn eternal life? Luke 10:25-29, and behold, a certain lawyer, that is a man who was versed in the law of Moses, that was his career, that was his training, that was his entire occupation, stood up and tested him. Let's see what he's going to do with this one. Saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what's written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. And he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who's my neighbor? I don't want to love all those people. Sitting in that church down in Oklahoma on another trip, the fellow teaching Sunday school class said, you got to remember your neighbor ain't just that fella that lives across the pasture from you. You know, who is my neighbor? It's people I don't like sometimes. People who don't like me sometimes. People in need who don't deserve help sometimes. love your neighbor as yourself. I'm not going to read the rest of the story, but this expert in Moses' law was interested in justifying himself in explaining why he wasn't going to do what would be necessary to inherit eternal life. And Jesus wasn't giving the man a workable way to earn eternal life. He was pointing out, buddy, you're not really interested in this, and you won't try if I tell you. On another occasion, we've heard the story of the rich young ruler in Luke 18, verses 18 through 23. I think maybe Sister Wanda said she'd written the notes in her. I don't write them. I cut and paste and copy. I don't have one of those e-book readers. I'm a the book reader, and I don't have e-ink. I got ink. Anyway, I got the verses in here, so you may not keep up with me. But anyway, it says, a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? How can I earn it? Jesus said unto him, why? Now, this should have been a clue to the guy. Why callest thou me good? Now, was Jesus good? Oh, yes. But he's asking this man a question that maybe the man should have listened a little more carefully to. What can I do to, how can I earn eternal life? Why callest thou me good? There's none good but God. And he goes on, when Jesus heard these things, he talked to the man. He said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come, follow me. When he heard this, he was very sorrowful, because he was very rich. Matthew 19:22 says this, when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, first of all, notice, he went away. Jesus said, follow me. He went away. He didn't follow Jesus. But second, what Jesus again had pointed out was not that thing by which the man could earn eternal life, but probably one of many things that he was not willing to do and couldn't do and wouldn't do. He was showing that people can't get eternal life by doing good themselves. Never did the Lord Jesus Christ, and never does the scripture, Old Testament or New, lay out a set of good works whereby people can successfully make the effort to earn eternal life. So how do we get eternal life? Well, it's a present. You can't earn some presents. They cost too much. But somebody can give them to you. There are lots of scriptures that tell us how we can get eternal life, but they all wind up with the same answer. And I'm just going to run through a bunch of them. The best known passage is from John chapter 3. I'll start with verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. You remember that story? They were bitten by the poisonous serpents, a picture of sin, injected with the poison of sin, doomed to die. And it was a matter of look and live. The serpent lifted up, a picture of Christ lifted up, bearing our sins, look and live. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world. He's angry with the sinner every day, the scripture says. God is not tolerant of sin. God does not excuse sin. God will not ignore sin. God will not wait a suitable length of time and forget about sin. God is angry with the wicked every day, but he loves them. You ever been mad at your kids? I'm not asking for a show of hands here. You ever been mad at your husband? Ever been mad at your wife? Ever been mad at your preacher? Has your preacher ever been mad at you? Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. God is angry over sin, but God loves the world nevertheless. And he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The price of everlasting life was too high for us to pay. And having paid it, he's not going to sell it to us. It was too costly. It cost the life of God's Son, Jesus Christ. There's only one condition given by which people can receive eternal life, as you read it in that passage, and that is simply by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Bang. That's it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your trust in him. Rely upon him to make this happen. In John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. First of all, the existence known by people who have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ is not life. It is simply existence. I'm not going to give a lesson on the distinction between life and death. I'm not going to give a definition of what death is. But it's not an end of existence. It's not an end of awareness. It's not necessarily an end of activity. But you know, a dead fish floating downstream can look awfully active, and it's still dead. Ephesians 2:1 describes such people as dead in trespasses and sins, still very active, still doing, still going, but dead in the very doing. Romans 6:23 says very clearly, the wages of sin is death. And understand that the payment of these wages is not deferred. It's not something that will be someday. Yes, one of these days, if the Lord tarries, every one of us will see our loved ones go. And in turn, those that remain will see us go physically. But he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. The wages of sin is death, but it's not a death that's deferred. In Genesis 2:17, God told Adam concerning the one thing he instructed him not to do, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Not in the day that you eat of it, there will be a death sentence given, and then someday, the separation from God was immediate. The end of fellowship with God was immediate. The unwillingness to come into God's presence and enjoy, as had been done, that communion and communication with God, the end of that was immediate. And it was a death. It was a spiritual death. And the day that thou eatest thereof, such people exist, not knowing Christ, imagining that they live and what they have is life. But Jesus said they won't even see life. They'll never know what it really is if they don't believe, nor is that the end of it. Four times in the book of Revelation, it speaks of something called the second death, a judgment that will be the final shutting away from any contact with God or anything that is good. But there's a choice. There's an alternative. Believe on the Son of God and have everlasting life. It's as simple as that. John 6:47. Verily, truly, truly, he's saying, this is the truth. And then he says it again, this is the truth. And in case you think it's somebody else's idea, I say unto you, Jesus says, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Now again, no other condition is set forth. If you go to the store and you see something that you like and it's on sale, don't you love a bargain? This is an $800 sport coat. I got it for $120-some. I never had an $800. I never had an $800 suit in my life, you know. And if somebody had stood at the door as I went out and said, oh yeah, they told you they'd give it to you for that much, but before you leave here, you have to pay the price, I'd have left anyway. And I left with my coat. Because it was mine. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. And somebody outside of faith, somebody outside of truth, somebody outside of walking in the simplicity of the gospel says, no, you have to do this and you have to do that. And there's this requirement. And if you don't meet this obligation, and there's a catechism you have to memorize and certain things, rituals that you have to go through. And if, unless you do all of these things, truth, I, Jesus, am telling you, he that believes on me has everlasting life. That's it. He said it. That settles it. That's how you get eternal life. 1 John 5:11. And this is the record: that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. That's it. Accept Christ, and you have eternal life. Now, I sort of poked fun at the technology people when I said I have a V-book reader and the, well, but I have a computer. I have, you know, I like my computer. I like the internet. I like Amazon.com, you know, and I like to buy stuff online because you, if you shop hard, you can get it cheaper. And the UPS guy is our friend, and FedEx too, you know, but mostly UPS. And the UPS guy comes and he's got a box. And I can look at that box and say, I didn't order a box. Nobody's, what's in the box? You take the box and you get what's in the box. Okay, I'll sign for that. This is the record: that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. You accept the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have accepted eternal life. Sort of end of discussion? No, not with the preacher. It's never the end of discussion, but you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's where eternal life is. Not in rules, not in regulations. I believe in, Brother Doug talked about a fellow that, well, he's a Christian, but he doesn't have to go to church. You know, the heavens are my cathedral. What are you going to do when there's smog, okay? The trees are the walls of my cathedral. Well, you know, there's all these little blights and bugs that are killing the trees. So, oh, but I worship him in the lake or the Gulf of Mexico. Well, you know, you don't get eternal life from the church. I'll get to it in a minute. You don't even get eternal life from the Bible. You don't get eternal life from the preacher. You don't get eternal life from. You get eternal life by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ, because life is in Jesus, and so is everything else you need. God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Anything you need, go to the highest, the prize of the upward calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. This life is in his Son. 1 John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. All religions are good. They all lead to the same place. No. Now, when I saw Mr. Bush stand up and talk about how good a certain religion is, and so that he was trying to placate, and I thought, Mr. Bush, you are in trouble. A televangelist whose name I won't mention, but you'd know it if I did say Oral Roberts. He put his arm around a fellow that had converted to Judaism, and he said, so-and-so loves God. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son has not life. And that's the Word of God. There's no other authority that's reliable. There's no need for us or for anyone else to complicate this thing. There's no need for us or anyone else to begin to add things or try to explain it away. And it baffles me why people want to explain away the simplicity of what God sets before us. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and you receive eternal life. And I'm getting down toward the end, and I would just ask a question, and you answer it in your heart. No show of hands tonight. But I wonder if there is anyone here who has not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. If there is anyone here who does not yet have this gift of eternal life. How do you do it? Now, there are some verses that use a different word from eternal life, like saved, because, you know, saved from death, that's a good thing. Saved from eternal death, that's a good thing. You receive a transfusion, a transplant of eternal life. Romans 10, 8 through 10. But what saith it? He's had this long discussion about justification and righteousness and all of these things. He says, let's sum it up. What does it say? The word is near you. You've heard it. It's there. Even in your mouth. All you have to do is say it. You've heard it. You can repeat it now. And in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You'll have eternal life. Believe and confess. That is, believe and acknowledge that faith. Acknowledge the truth of God's word to God. I've heard people say, all right, you've believed. Now you need to confess. Go tell somebody. That's a good thing to do. But go on down. It says, whosoever, in verse 13, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Confess. Lord, I'm a sinner. I recognize that Jesus died for my sins. And I need salvation. And you promised, Lord, save me. That's enough confession for me. I think it's enough confession for God, don't you? Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. And you know, if you're here tonight and you've never done that, now's the accepted time. 2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And what's supposed to happen at this point is we're supposed to sing Just As I Am. And before that, while every head is bowed, would you lift your hand? And, you know, I don't object to any of that. We usually close our services with a song, and sometimes I ask for a show of hands about this or that while every head is bowed and every eye is closed. But, you know, if the mailman brings you an invitation to a party, he doesn't stand around and insist that you tell him whether you're going or not. You know what I am? I'm a mailman. I'm a messenger. It's all in the world I am. Maybe that invitation came in the form of a postcard, and he knows what it says. Now, he's just the mailman. It's not his job. Maybe he knows that other person, and he knows how much that other person wants you to come to their party. No. There are times I'll do that because, you know, I could send a private messenger to you and then give instructions, wait for a reply. And there's times when it's good to do that. But we don't have to do that. See, the message is there. And the one that you need to talk to is God. The one who can give this gift is God. The one who died for you is the Lord Jesus Christ. And all you need to do is believe and tell him and say, Lord, I accept your Son. And if you have the Son, you have life. Let's bow our heads once more in a word of prayer. Gracious Father, we do thank you that we can come to a conclusion about some teachings. You make things so clear in your word. Your grace is so abundant. Your gift is free. Father, stir our hearts to appreciate what you have done. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. And now I'm going to issue just a simple invitation for each one of you. If you'd like to just come and gather and find a place to kneel and talk to him, take this opportunity. And if you'd like to tell him, Lord, I want eternal life, this is the time. Just come. All who will, come and spend some time seeking his face.